The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance on this Friday 13th. Now, we had our Friday 13th yesterday. So we don't need to have another Friday 13th tonight, right?
Yep.
And so with that, tonight we have here Brett Nair live right in the studio. Well, starting off with Courageous Craig on the board.
Good evening, everybody.
And over here, our Friday night co-host, Ron Ritz.
Good evening, everyone.
And way out yonder in Texas, none other than the John McTurnan.
Well, good evening, Pastor Ernie, and God bless you and all our listeners.
And right here, we have our special guest tonight with us is Jonathan Broadbent with Protect the Children.
Hi, everybody.
Alrighty, so we're all in tonight. And, John, our scripture this week was God's Word versus man's opinion on who is a Jew. And so we're going to finish off last night. And some of the questions we had people out there, they start out by saying some people believe that Israel could do no good. Others believe Israel could do no bad. We took a look at some of the things like there are those that believe that Israel should not be witnessed to, like John Hagee, that by their lineage, they're saved by their lineage. Well, that's not exactly what God's Word, the Bible, teaches, and we went through that. There are those that believe that the church has replaced Israel, and of course, we went through that. That's replacement theology or covenant theology, and we looked at that yesterday, and we found out the church has not replaced Israel. Here, there are those that believe that all Christians have a Jew living inside of them. Now, when I said that, people, when I was teaching that class, people laughed. And I said, Colossians 1:27 says that Christ lives within us, right? Now, there are other people that say that they believe that that Hebrews was the language, is heaven's language. And we took a look at that in Genesis 11:1. And we see that that was the very first language spoken was Hebrew. And then we also looked in Acts 26:14, and we saw that the Apostle Paul said, and the Lord spoke from him in his Hebrew language from heaven. So it looks like that the Hebrew was the language of heaven. Now, tonight we're going to take a look at them because, believe it or not, there are people, and we had an argument. This is how I ended up preaching this message about some people said Jesus was not a Jew. They get into all of these thing about the Khazars and the Herodians and the Samaritan, that he was not, that they're a real Jew, okay? And so tonight we're going to pick it up. And Jonathan, would you read from Matthew 27, verse 37?
Absolutely.
and set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews."
No. That word accusation is not the way we use it. That word there was from Pilate, and that was a confirmation. Pilate was saying, yes, Jesus is the King of the Jews, and the Jews didn't like it, but Pilate believed that Jesus was the King of the Jews. And so now we're going to go over to Luke chapter 2, and in Luke chapter 2, Ron, you start with, Ron, you read for 21 through 24, and would you pick it up there, John, and read 24 all the way through 33?
Okay, that's 30.
Yep. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which is so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons.
Pastor Ernie, where do you want me to end?
25 through, going through 33.
And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child, Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to the Gentiles and the glory of the people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him.
Well, you know, there it says Joseph and his mother in the New Age, in the perversions of the NIV, and it says his father and his mother marveled. And was Joseph the father of Jesus?
No, Pastor Ernie.
Okay. Here, Jewish families went through several ceremonies after the birth of a child. And let's see if here, all of these ceremonies were completed there in Israel, in Jerusalem, and if they were ceremonies kept by the Jews, right? One, at the birth of a child, a male child, circumcision of a male child. After 8 days. Did we see that here?
Yes.
Yeah. Redemption of the firstborn. Do we see that here? Yeah. The purification of the mother. If she's unclean for 40 days, if it's a male child, male baby, and 80 days if it's a female baby. What is that? What do you think that means, that she was unclean? Okay, what did that mean? It meant that she couldn't go into the temple, and she couldn't offer any sacrifices. She could until that purification period was over with. Okay.
What would determine that as to cleanliness?
That was the law, the cleansiness that was part of their law there.
Okay, the rituals.
Purification ritual, yeah.
Okay.
And so they kept that. People were asking me, and excuse me, it was a doctor was asking me why was it female 80 days and in the male 40 days now. It has to do with their biology. That's all I know. That's what I couldn't tell you any more than that. But anyhow, so I think that's really proof positive that the Lord Jesus was a Jew. Don't you think so?
Yes.
Okay.
I was going to mention, too, when Jesus was at the well with the Samaritan, you know, she immediately asked, why would you have anything to do with me? Because the Jews and the Samaritans didn't really get along at that time.
Right. They were, why? The Samaritans were considered, they were half-breed Jews.
Yeah.
It was Samaritans. Okay, yeah.
Samaritan, that's yeah. Right.
They were half-breed Jews. And this is why there were some said that there are no real Jews anymore. They're only like Herodians or Samaritans or Khazars and all of this. But
Pastor Ernie?
Yeah.
Yeah. We can go back into Russia when the Tsars and the Russian Orthodox Church were creating or causing pogroms against the Jews.
Oh, yeah.
No one ever said to them, you know, Tsar, what are you doing? They're Khazars. What are you doing this? You know, Hitler, did anyone ever say, Adolf, you know, they're not Jews. What do you, well, you know, they're Khazars. What are you doing? No. And then, yet they come back to Israel and all of a sudden they're not Jews.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing.
And Pastor Ernie, and when Israel was formed in 1948, there was about 1 million Jews in North Africa, from Egypt all the way over to Morocco, and they were persecuted. They were driven from the land, and they went to Israel, and they had been there for, you know, I don't know how long. I mean, 1,000 years, 2,000 years. They had settled along North Africa, so they were never in where they claimed the Jews were Khazars and all. So they came back to Israel. Most of the Jews in Israel and its founding were Sephardic Jews from North Africa.
Now, you've been to Israel. I've been to Israel, and how does that compare with when they came back at that time? Actually, they were coming back to it before 1948. They started coming back to the land. But what was the condition of the land there in Israel at that time?
Well, it was malaria-infested swamps. It was rock-hewn all over the place, and it was a lot of just sand dunes along the Mediterranean. It was Samuel Clemens, Mark Twain there, had traveled. He was really the classic on this. After the Civil War, he spent quite a while in the Middle East, in Israel, and said it was the most forsaken place on earth.
Yeah, it was totally, there was nothing there, okay? And why was that?
Well, the Jews were, and there was a curse on the land when they were driven out. And when they started to come back, the rains started to fall, and the land was transformed.
And so was that prophesied that when they would return, then it would be turned into a garden?
Yeah, you could see that in Ezekiel 36, about when they returned, the Lord said, there'll be rivers flowing, and there'll be fruit, and there'll be vegetables and gardens and all that, and the cities will be rebuilt. And that's exactly what's happened.
Yeah, but don't you know that the land was just inhabited with a bunch of Palestinians, and Israel, the Jews came back and pushed them all out of the land and said, this is our land, right? Was the land inhabited with all of the Palestinians?
Very sparsely. Very, very sparsely, Pastor. Because in my book, As America's Done to Israel, I extensively researched all this. For most of the time, Jerusalem was not really much of anything, Pastor Ernie, and the largest population in it were Jews.
Well, absolutely.
It never was the center of a, like you hear today, it's the third holiest city in Islam. Well, it only became, the Muslims only became interested in it when the Jews started to return.
Yeah, after 1948, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, yeah. But what happened, too, is, so you had all of these Palestinians that were homeless, but Saudi Arabia didn't want to take them in. Kuwait didn't want to take them in.
None of the Arab countries. I mean, it's surrounded by every country is Arab. Yeah. None of them would accept them, yeah.
Okay. But only one nation took them in, and that was Israel.
Yeah.
And Israel's not that big a country, is it?
It's about the size of New Jersey.
Yep. Yeah, I know. I went from one end of it to the other, and the entire country is not that big. And
If you look at...
Mr. Ernie, do you want absolute scriptural proof from the Word of God that Jesus Christ is a Jew?
I thought we just did that, but yeah.
Well, more. I want.
yeah. Absolutely, more.
Okay, here I'm going to give it to you. If you go to the Book of Revelation, and you go to chapter 5, and it has to do about opening of the seven seals on the parchment there to begin the judgment. It said that John is watching this, and it says in scriptures that no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look thereupon. And then you go to verse 5. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of Jesse, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. In heaven, Jesus Christ is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David. I think that's the final authority, Pastor Ernie.
That's good enough for me.
It's good enough for me.
Yeah, and but believe it or not, like I said, I had a conversation with an individual that said that Jesus was not a Jew, and that he's not the only one that believes that. Remember the Reverend Wright, okay? Obama's pastor, he says he wasn't a Jew either. Yeah, he said it too. But anyhow, we're going to switch over here because we have a lot to cover. So tonight we're not going to take calls tonight because we got too much to cover and we may not, you know, we don't have that much time. And the whole point of it is, you know, we got to get as much information out as we can, unless we get a real miracle. On the 25th of this month, we're going to be going off six stations unless, you know, we really get a big miracle. But even if we do go off those stations, they can still hear us, you know, by just going up on the Internet to the word cleveland.com, right?
Yeah, or just go through wrwl.org, and there will be a button that just says radio broadcast. And you can click that link there.
And they can listen to us on, you know, we're on...
Liberty Radio Network.
Liberty Radio, but what is it? iHeart, we're on iHeart, we're on what other? We're on a number of different things. I can't even remember them all now, so they can pick us up on a lot of these different stations.
Yeah, and at theword.com, you can listen live or you can listen to... archive broadcasts, you know, yeah. You go back 2-3 months.
And so I hate to have to go off because I know a lot of people are not on the Internet. They depend on the radio out there. But, folks, you know, we did all that we can. I mean, we really did. Believe me, when I tell you we did all that we could possibly do, we fought and fought to stay on there. And right now it's entirely up to you, folks. The only way we can stay on is if you start supporting. A lot of the people out there have been listening to us, and I have people every now and then actually call me and tell me, Pastor, I'm going to, for the first time, I've been listening to you for years, and I'm ashamed to say I never supported you, but I'm going to start supporting you. You folks out there, if you want to keep us on. Now, if you can't, get the newsletter. The newsletter is free. The newsletter is free. We have very, very important information in that newsletter, and so you'll want to get that. In fact, not tomorrow, but a week from tomorrow, Saturday from 1 o'clock to 6, we're going to have the matinee at the church, Doers of the Word Baptist Church. We're going to show current event films, things that are happening all day out there, and it has to do with the days that we're living in right now, the Bible and current events. So it's going to be a number of different films that things that have happened that people need to know. So mark your calendars. 1 week from tomorrow would be the 24th, right?
Or no, no, 13th, the 20th. Plus 7, yeah, 20th.
The 20th. It would be the 20th. So mark your calendars for that. Now this week, what we're going to do at Doers of the Word Church at 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, we start at 8:30 with a Bible study. The smartest people in the church attend the Bible study, okay? And so some of those that aren't the smartest, if they want to be the smartest, they'll come to the Bible study. And so that's from 8 to 8:30. It's in-depth. Now, from 8:30 to 9:30, we have another Bible study. And then we have the morning service starts at about 11:15. And then after that, from 1 to about 2 o'clock, we have another class on the Bible. And then this Sunday, we're going to be showing the film that we've been talking about, we've been telling you folks all week long. And it's very, very important. We've been telling you how the Department of Defense, the DOD, is behind this whole COVID thing. They're completely behind. They are the reasons why Pfizer and Moderna and Johnson & Johnson did not list all the things that were in there is because they're reporting directly to the Department of Defense. And they're the only ones, okay, that they can get away with that, okay? They're the reason that you had all of these judges and that were intimidated by all the election fraud. And these judges were told to stand down and they wouldn't hear cases because that's where it's coming from. And who's heading that up? Two drag queens. We got Austin and Millie. Two drag queens are heading that up. It's unbelievable. And so we're going to be showing you the films, and the documentation is going to be there. We're going to be Lara Logan, and Sasha Latapova, who is a researcher, a chemist. She worked in the pharmaceutical, and she's been doing research for years. It'll be at 4 o'clock this Sunday. You don't really want to miss that one at all. And so we're coming up to a break. We come back from the break. We're gonna start off with Jonathan and have him tell us what he's here for. So we'll be back right after this one more.
In the mountains up near Sandpoint, north of Naples, Idaho, eagles gathered there together to guard the truth so you might know. Down the road that followed Deep Creek, at the turn that crossed the bridge, federal marshals had the road blocked to mark the siege of Ruby Ridge. There the armies of the enemy slayed your bride and only son, nearly killed your close companion when the shrapnel pierced his lung. We stand with you, Randy Weaver, 'cause your Lord and Savior lives. Wheresoever eagles gather, that is where his body is. On that evening, late one August, you were forced to take your stand. There two strangers, as they trespassed, drew first blood on private land. Governor Andrus, back in Boise, let the enemy tell him lies. And from his anti-Christ decision, Sam and Vicky lost their lives. Federal agents, U.S. Marshals, and FBI men stormed the hill, all on false, fictitious charges, given orders shoot to kill. We stand with you, Randy Weaver, 'cause your Lord and Savior lives. Wheresoever eagles gather, that is where his body is. Though the armies of the enemy may surround us in the night, there's a host of heavenly angels hovering near, ready to fight. We stand with you, Randy Weaver. We are proud to call you friend. As we gather here together, stand beside you till the end. We stand with you, Randy Weaver, 'cause your Lord and Savior lives. Wheresoever eagles gather, that is where his body is. Wheresoever eagles gather, that is where his body is.
And that song, that's what happens when cops go bad. And folks, when that took place on that day, there were people there, and as it was happening, they called live and on the radio program, and they reported it, and Bo Greitz was down, and you had a crowd of the Patriots came to support him, and they had all the federal troops there, and we were reporting what was happening. They had a helicopter filled with airplane fuel, and they were going to dump it on a cabin and set him on fire, and Randy was in there with his daughters. And we were talking about that, you know. And so as Bo Greitz was talking to the commander, by the way, Randy Weaver just died a little while back, okay. One of the agents went up to the guy in charge and said, hey, there's some guy on the radio in Cleveland. He's telling the whole country what you're doing, what we're doing here, okay. And so they called, they told the helicopter to stand down. But they would have done that, yeah. But anyhow, see, that's what happens when cops go rogue. And John, you're a special 26 years special federal agent. You know about when cops go rogue, don't you?
Oh yeah, Pastor Ernie. And it's law enforcement goes rogue. The problem is there's always some bad agents, but the big problem arises when the bad agents become, you know, the director of the agency,
the people in charge. Yeah.
Yeah, then what do you do, Pastor?
I'll tell you what you got to do right now. Here's what you got to do. They're trying to knock us down again. Right now, they've been knocking us down. We're only up in New York and Philly and Portland besides here, you know, and these stations here. So, John, would you pray that the good Lord would come against those that are trying to come against us, the Antichrist system that's trying to take us down again tonight?
Yes, Father, we're before you in the name of Jesus, and we're asking in his name that you would keep the airwaves open so the information that we have is going out across the country, so the people have the knowledge that they can act upon now. This is truth that's going out, and the powers that be, Lord, do not want the truth to go out. They want it suppressed, like they're doing in every other media, but we're asking that this remains open now. So in Jesus' name, we're asking that the Pastor Ernie's message, and as we work with him, would go out, and the people would have the knowledge to act upon now. In Jesus' name, amen.
You know, John, you know, our flagship station, 1220 here, is on 24 hours a day. And the only time they have a problem, the only time they go down is during our 2 hours. That's all. That's the only time. Jonathan, what are you going to tell us about tonight?
Well, Pastor, I'm going to tell you about weaponized regulators. Let me set the stage here by saying that just like this Protect Ohio Children work that I do in K-12, this is a fight. I never asked to be here. This is not where I envisioned my life going. But now that I'm here in the fight and I'm tangled up in the mix, I'm not backing down. So I own a small business. And, you know, just like you're hearing with Trump and the FBI raiding, and you heard years ago about the IRS going in and hassling people. That doesn't, it's not relegated just to presidents and politicians. It happens to us regular folks, too. As soon as we raise up our voice and start revealing ourselves as Christian conservatives, then all of a sudden these people come out of the woodwork with these three-letter agencies. So here's the deal, Pastor. For years, I've been advocating for First Amendment. I'm involved with an organization called Citizens for Free Speech. I run a gun club. I advocate for Second Amendment rights. I got involved in Protect Ohio Children, which is education. We fight for K-12. And then I got involved in politics. So I'm on this central committee. I'm on a state, a local central committee, and working on trying to turn around the Republican Party. But, Pastor, the trouble came in when I started something called Unwoke Investing. I work in finance, and I know where all the skeletons are. All this ESG stuff you hear people talking about, that stands for Environmental, Social, and Governance. And just think of it this way. It's a backdoor entrance for this Green New Deal stuff. It's the globalists trying to force Green New Deal into everyday American lives, into our homes all over the world.
It's about control. It's all about control.
Totally about money and control. So I started this Unwoke Investing, and I started ringing the bell. I was blowing the whistle and exposing these companies. I started with a company called BlackRock in August.
Oh, yeah.
I pulled ESG reports on BlackRock on August 4th of this year, among all the other things we're doing. And lo and behold, you know, I had some glimmers here and there in the months leading up. But then, boy, oh boy, did these regulators, they have been relentless. They're pounding on me for 11 months now. It's a continuous battle, wave after wave after wave. And they're deceitful. They'll lie. They tell me this is business as usual. I've been in business enough years. I know that my treatment, this is not usual. And so it finally came to a head in, it was Friday, the weekend before New Year's Eve. So Friday afternoon, December 30th, I got an email from these regulators, one of the many attacking me, and said, as of January 1st, you're out of business. It was the most ridiculous thing they came up with and said, you're out of business. But here's the deal, Pastor. I don't like to get on your radio program and only talk about any bad news. I want to tell people out there, if you know somebody that's in small business, like the guy that owns the gym in New Jersey and stayed open through COVID, or the woman who started through the vote, I want to tell you there's hope. It's a battle. It's brutal. But it's worth it. I'm putting up my dukes. I put up a thing on the web trying to alert people. I've been doing videos, and lo and behold, Pastor, I'm not the only one. It turns out four other people that I know. I got a woman in nursing, a 36-year veteran of child psychology, a lawyer, a family that own a construction business. All of them, all of us, are squeaky clean, pardon me, for decades and decades. The woman in child psychology, 36 years, she's never had a complaint. And now she's got regulators breathing down her neck. They've actually run her out of business. They closed her. But every one of us, here's the hope, and what I hope that your listeners will take away from this. The fight is worth it. We are fighting for America. We're fighting for freedom, for Western values, for children. In the case of this Protect Ohio Children work that I do, the battle goes on, and some of us, Pastor, are finding our way through and actually winning some minor battles against some of these regulators. It's possible. You may not think it is, but it's possible. I actually got my business reopened a few days ago. So I went a short period there. We're sweating bullets. I had no idea if I was going to have income simply because I raised my voice as a conservative. But this is going on, and beyond just the minor battles, I hope that one day enough of us band together and just put our foot down, draw the line in the sand, and tell these three-letter agencies, these non-governmental agencies, enough. You cannot come around here hassling and shutting down American small businesses simply because you don't agree with our politics.
Well, do you know that from Genesis to Revelation, God gives us three missions. Did you know that? Three main missions is what God gives us. The first one is what? The Great Commission. Great Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. That's first and foremost. Right, John McTernan? Are you there, John? Did we lose him? Okay.
Is that to love your father with all your might?
Okay. Are you there, John? Okay, so.
Yeah, I'm here, Pastor Ernie.
Okay, so the very first one, the first mission is the Great Commission. The second mission is from Genesis to Revelation. Resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. Resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. How do we know? Where do we start there? Well, you know, you're starting with Noah. But if you take a look at the mother of Moses, but go back before that, and Shifra and Pua, the two wet nurses there, they worked for the government. They worked for the Pharaoh, the king, okay? They obeyed God and not the government. If you look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they obeyed God, not the government. If you look at Daniel, he obeyed God and not the government, okay? All from Genesis to Revelation. So that's the second one. The third mission is this. You find that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting verse 10, where? That we are to hold to the traditions of the apostles and stand fast and not give up our ground. So he gives us these three main missions, okay? So, again, the Great Commission, first and foremost, and then resistance to tyranny is always obedience to God. Failure to resist tyranny is always disobedience to God. I did three radio programs live with FBI agents sitting in the studio with me, but those were the good guys, okay? Mm-hmm. They're not the ones. And here's what we've got now. John, let's talk about what's happening with these documents here that have come up. First of all, I'm sitting here and I can't believe I'm watching, and you've got these congressmen and now PMSNBC and that saying that Trump had these documents, had the Republicans, okay, had them put those documents there, plant those documents there, okay. First of all, John, those documents were stolen. They were actually stolen by Biden back 6 years ago when he left the White House, weren't they?
Well, Pastor Ernie, I've done some research on this to try and get a handle on it. And what happened was he had some office at the University of Pennsylvania. And the documents were in there, and they were not his. They were from, like, the president in that. So he left them there. And the interesting thing about this is they were, as far as they can tell, they were about China and about the Ukraine. And they sat there for, like, 6 years. It had nothing to do with Trump trying to get even with Joe Biden. They've been there since before Trump was in office.
So you're telling me that Trump and the Russians didn't do that?
No. So there was something going on in November, and Biden's attorney found them and notified the archives, and that's what started this. So this has been known since November, and it's just coming out now. But what they don't know is how these documents got in Biden's house and in his garage.
Now, they got in that house where that garage was. Is where Hunter Biden was living.
He owned the house.
He owned that
house for during when those records were in there. He owned the house.
Let me ask you a question, Jeff. If Hunter Biden was living there, you don't suppose, don't you, that it was frequently visited by prostitutes and drug dealers?
I would say there's an excellent chance that the answer is yes.
Oh, and that's an amazing thing. Now,
that's how this came about. That's how this came about. These were Biden's, he was using top secret information and doing research, whatever he was doing at this office at the University of Pennsylvania.
Okay, so let me ask you this.
And then, Pastor Ernie, to add to this, this is very exciting or interesting. One of the biggest donor to the University of Pennsylvania is Communist China. And the dean of the school, if that's the chancellor of the school, was appointed by Biden to be an ambassador. So this is deep. That it's in the University of Pennsylvania, I think he felt it was a secure area because the Communist Chinese owned it, and then he was real close to the chancellor and appointed her as an ambassador.
All right, now let me ask you this, because these documents, when the President of the United States, is it not at his pleasure, can he not declassify whatever he wants? And those documents, do they not become his personal property once he declassifies them? Can he keep them there, or can he put them in the archives, in the National Archives?
He absolutely can declassify it and keep it.
Okay. That's the president. What about the vice president?
No, he can't declassify anything.
So if you're not authorized, only the president is authorized. So Trump was authorized to do, okay? Now, Biden was vice president when he took these things. And so he was not authorized to do that, right? Now, in the military, you know, when I was in the military, let me tell you something. You got caught walking out with classified documents in your pocket, you're going to jail. You're going to prison, no doubt about it. No ifs, ands, and buts. You're guilty the minute you get caught, okay? And so Biden was not authorized, was he?
No. No, well, Obama could give him the authority to use the documents. But Biden is not authorized to declassify any of them. And if Obama gives him these documents or allows him to use these documents, he's got to treat them as top security, Pastor. He can't leave them in the garage next to your classic Corvette. You can't do that. So that he said, the documents were safe. They were in the garage. They were locked in the garage with my classic Corvette. It's like that's the new level of security now for top secret documents. If you have a garage, locked for your collectible vehicle, that qualifies for top security, you know, where you could store them.
Hey, Pastor, I have a question here. Now, given the circumstances here, couldn't James Comey just come out on TV and say that he's sure that Biden didn't really mean to break the law?
He did it with Hillary.
Right? That's exactly right. You got the reference there. That's what he did with
Hillary. Broke 100 laws, but she didn't really mean to do it, okay?
Good grief.
And so there you go. So, I mean, there's two different sets of standards, okay? Now, let me ask you this. What are the chances that the Republicans could have had access to Biden's house to plant those documents? You don't suppose that Secret Service might have some presence there at Biden's house?
John? I would say they do, Pastor Ernie. I mean, you've got to protect those houses from terrorists and whoever else. So, yeah.
So, like, if you and I was to show up and say, look, we're here, we want to plant some documents, what are the chances they'd let us do that?
I don't think they're too good chances for the test, Ernie.
Yeah, that's what I figured. So,
the one thing real quick on the University of Penn is they paid Biden $900,000 for never teaching a course. And then shortly thereafter, the money started flowing in. We're talking millions from the CCP to the University of Penn.
Well, it's because his ability is such a great artist. He was getting $500,000 for his paintings. You know, he was buying those at the Chinese Communist
CCP,
Party.
Yeah.
Was spending, I mean, do they have, like, really good taste in art?
No.
No?
I don't think so.
And so, it's an amazing thing here. So then you're telling me that those people, what's her name, Medcow, and these people on PMSNBC, that they're wrong when it comes to saying that President Trump had the Republicans plant those documents. Then that's not very likely, right?
Well,
those documents were, Biden had them. Like 6 years ago,
yeah, 2017.
Yeah, like so. How could Trump possibly have it back then, or anybody? I mean, these were. But the interesting thing about this, I don't know if this is proven, but when I was reading, I think this was about it. One of the things they thought were being classified was information about China and about the Ukraine.
Let me ask you, speaking of Ukraine, Joe Obama wants to send an unlimited supply of high-tech weapons to the Ukraine, when right now, according to our military commanders, we are substandard. We don't have enough of these weapons right now to meet our own needs, and he wants to send what we have left over to the Ukraine. Kind of like what he did with our oil?
Yeah, the strategic oil to the Chinese.
Yeah. But you won't hear any of this ever reported on PMSNBC, NBC, ABC, CBS, or the NPR. None of this, folks.
The one thing we're kind of might be overlooking with Biden is, at least with the garage, he is getting older. He's kind of forgetful. He could have just maybe forgot to lock the door a couple times, and that's how they snuck the documents in.
Yeah. Maybe he forgot that was his house.
That's true. He went to the wrong house.
Yeah, he called his sister his wife one time and called his wife his
sister. Yeah, I remember that, yeah, on the campaign.
Well, maybe that's not too bad, because Abraham did the same thing, but he was right, because his wife was his sister, and his sister was his wife, so
yep.
There you go. Anyhow, so all of these things are happening.
Real quick, why do you think mainstream media actually picked up on it? Because they're the ones that actually, NBC and CBS is the one that started running with it, which I find very odd.
No, not at all, because what you do is you get your version of it out there right away.
First.
What you do is the whole thing about this was a mistake. You notice how they come out and said only a very few documents, not like the Trump situation. They kept telling you over and over, it wasn't as bad, nothing like with the Trump situation. Now, let me ask you this, John. When these things were discovered, were they discovered and they knew, did Merrick Garland know and the FBI about these documents before they charged Trump at Mar-a-Lago?
I don't know, but I'm sure it was before they gave the special prosecutor. I know that.
According to Fox News there, they did. They knew about that. They knew about these documents. They knew that Trump before they even charged President Trump. Now, here they raided his...
Since early November, it was like November 2nd that the documents were found and made aware. So, yeah, it goes back to all the way back to November 2nd.
Yeah, before the election.
Okay, but these documents were were missing. They knew that these documents were gone. This goes back, according to Fox News, prior to charging President Trump with that, they knew about these documents being there. So,
I know what you're fishing for there, and I think you're right. And it's a tactic. It's an ongoing, perpetual tactic of the left to accuse somebody of that of which they are guilty.
Absolutely.
And so as soon as they know they're on the hook for something or about to get busted for something, they'll point fingers and accuse somebody else of exactly that same sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's like the concept of noise-canceling headphones.
Yeah.
You hit the world with exactly the frequency you're about to hear, and people get tone-deaf to it. I think you're onto something. I think they knew before they invaded Mar-a-Lago.
Oh, absolutely. They did.
Pastor Ernie, I got a theory I want to throw in with what they're doing.
Oh, you never had no theories.
Yeah, I do. I think they're going to get, they could get two birds with one stone here. They could get, try and get Trump and Biden at the same time. If they want to get him out, how would they possibly release this against Biden? Because it's very damaging. But look, if they have a special prosecutor against Biden right now, and they got one against Trump, so they could work a deal out and tell, with Trump and say, they could prosecute Biden, and that would give them cover for prosecuting Trump at the same time.
Right. Well, now, see, here's the thing. You can't indict a court. Do you remember when they said you cannot indict a sitting president? Remember who was in charge of that? I'm thinking when they brought him in, the guy that headed up the Russia scam. You know who I'm talking about?
Adam Schiff?
Oh, Mueller.
No. Pardon?
Mueller?
Mueller.
Mueller
said, I remember him saying it, you cannot indict a sitting president. Now, here, Trump is no longer a sitting president. If they can find a federal charge against Trump and get him convicted of any federal charge, he can no longer run for office. They know if he runs for office, Garland and Ray and all of these crooks, these absolute corrupt, totally, completely corrupt crooks, they know that they're going to jail. They know that. And that's why they're going to do whatever they can to keep Trump from running for office again. They know that if he runs, he'll get elected because people are very, very aware of all the voter fraud. John, do you find it interesting? Look, here in Brazil, what took place in Brazil, millions of people in Brazil are rioting because they did exactly in Brazil what they did here, exactly. And remember, Trump supposedly lost 49% to 51%. What happened? Exact same numbers in Brazil, where they inserted, just like they inserted Joe Obama, they inserted that communist there. And the military at this point has not gotten involved, okay? They try to get him to, but millions of people are rioting, and you don't hear a word about it here in this news. We'll be back. Hang tight, John, because we're up against the heartbreak. Hold that thought. Okay. We'll be back right after this, and then you can comment on that, because you're a pretty smart fella. We want to hear what you have to say. Be right back with more.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.